Hi, and welcome to episode 55 of Fully Boosted, a War Machine Hordes podcast. I'm Grant.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Third.
And Pete's here, but he's on mute because he's on travel, so he just wanted to hang out, but he's not recording himself.
He's totally being our groupie in the background.
Yeah.
Like, he's just deep breathing.
He's not really being a groupie. I think he's just silently judging us.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, that always happens. That's not new, so... So we're back. Ryan and I were going to record last week. Pete and Brad were both on travel. I had a little family emergency, so we ended up just saying fuck it, and we just took the week off. And so we came back this week. I think we have some news announcements. We had a tournament this weekend, which we'll get into in a second. So Brad, I think you had one page you wanted to talk about at least.
Yeah, so Devin, a player I believe in the Maryland area, though it might be Virginia, put together a page. It is called the Mid-Atlantic War Machine and Hordes Events. Within it, he has invited myself as well as a handful of other tournament organizers between the South Jersey, Pennsylvania, Maryland, Virginia, Delaware area. So a little bit of a spread, but kind of centered around Maryland and Delaware to give you like a center focal point hub to then link all of their events together. So I'm looking at it currently. It only started up 2 days ago, and we're just about to 100 followers, so growth is pretty great. But looking at the event page, between this weekend, this coming weekend, which would be the 30th of September, the last weekend of September, and the last weekend of October, so about 4 or 5 weeks, I see 7 events. So if you're trying to plan weekends around family or around War Machine or trying to figure out, I have this day free, can I go to something? It's a great thing to jump to should you be on the East Coast. Specifically around the middle of the East Coast.
Yep. Yeah, so go give that page a like so you can stay in touch with all the events, especially, like Brad said, if you're in this area or looking to come to this area.
Right, I mean, and the other nice thing is if you're on the fringes of it, like if you're up in the New York area, this kind of hits the stuff in South Jersey or around the Philadelphia area to catch you on that edge. If you're... I don't really know how large of a drive it is across Virginia because I'm not directly from that area, but I imagine if you're in the like the northern end of North Carolina and you're not afraid to make a couple hour drive into Virginia, there might be a couple things for you there. Or if you're more out west, if you're more in the middle of PA and you're looking for something around the Philadelphia area, so on and so forth, it really opens up a little bit of a communication window. I know before when I was looking to travel to more events about a year or two ago, and I was looking for events down in Delaware, it was like individually searching each store's page.
Right.
So like this is, it's just much better now. While it only exists in a small area, it's certainly a very, very nice tool.
Yep. And as a reminder, if you are playing in the Beaucourt Brawl, the captain of your team should have gotten an email from Conflict Chamber about how to submit lists, and they are due October 4th.
Mm-hmm.
So just a reminder to everybody that's playing in that to get your shit together, dog, because we haven't even talked about it. So like I started a chat with Klinger and Ryan and like that was it. That's all that happened so far.
Our team chat. Well, I don't want to spoil it. Our team chat has not been about War Machine.
I'm not shocked. So let me somehow you Ireland Banky like ended up on other topics. That's crazy to me.
Well, yeah, I think this story is going to get a little more notarized in about a week. Not to foreshadow, but that's kind of been the topics of our conversation.
Yeah, what time did you get home last night, by the way?
Oh, I didn't have to do that.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah, nice. I'll give you more details later. But
yeah, we'll talk about it next week. But Ireland had an incident followed by another to cap off his WTC.
Next week's going to be an entertaining.
And we're going to have him on next week to talk about it because it's pretty funny.
Sorry, we're not giving more details now, but I think the story's gonna be better from the horse's back.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He's given us the exclusive. So
besides, we normally don't. Chill our own shit. So
no,
there we
no,
go.
Exactly. So
try something new.
So I think that was it for that stuff. We had a event this weekend at Nirvana that Brad ran. Another wonderful job by you, sir. I always appreciate the work you do. I know just from helping you set up, it's there's a lot going on. You know, in between rounds when you're trying to just even talk and grab something to eat, like there's a lot of shit going on. So it's a lot of work for you.
It's good fun though. It's truthfully, I mean, I could have with what it takes to run them. I probably could have played them before when I was still a PG, but that was frowned upon. So now it's just the best of both worlds.
Yeah, and I don't know if Ashley listens, but thanks to her for cooking the food. It was outstanding, as usual.
That was like I was signed up to go. I was all ready to set to go, and then I had something come up family-wise, and I wasn't able to go. But that was like my biggest disappointment. I'm like, damn, I'm going to miss lunch.
Yeah, and it was good. It was funny, though, because when I was talking to her, she's like, yeah, so Brad tells me yesterday, like, okay, I'm home from Vegas. I'm going to sleep, so cook food for tomorrow for the tournament. I was like, that is great.
Not how that went down. She'll listen to this later.
That's so what she
I don't
said.
Mind her hearing it this way. We were talking while I was in Vegas. She sends me recipes of like, I can make these things. I said, yes, that sounds great. And she had already planned for me to take a nap in the middle of the afternoon. Like, we were talking about how my day's going to go on Saturday. And she listened? No, she's not. How my day's going to go on Saturday. And she's like, yeah, I'll make this while you're napping.
It's not how she told it on Sunday.
Just all right, we'll fight about it tomorrow. Just okay. Know that you're the reason for spousal abuse.
Me? Oh,
Jesus!
Yeah, yeah, she's gonna get it.
What did I? Oh, for that. I thought you were talking, because even earlier, you're like, Ashley's going to rip on you. I'm like, fucking for what? What did I do?
Well, I mean, what you did was like unacceptable.
Yeah, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
I'm surprised you even did that, Grant.
I'm the worst, guys. So we ended up having 18 people. Some people ended up dropping. So thanks to everyone that came down. We had some guys take some really long trips. So a couple guys from Staten mm-hmm. Island. We had the Battle Driven guys come down. We got to hang out with them, and that was a really good time. And we had some other usual suspects and some nomads and the guys from – we had Seth and Jake from Target come down, and it was great.
Yeah, great turnout. It was just like an interesting. It was a tale of two different metas. Like if you were here a month ago, it was like all of Philadelphia came down, and now aside from Derek, none of Philadelphia came down, in all of North Jersey.
Yeah, yeah, they were actually really mad at you for hosting the tournament at our store and not up there, because like it would have
80% of the field like was from north of us. So yeah. I probably should have, but I mean, yeah. I'm not going to.
No, well, I mean, like we only had a 10-minute drive, so fuck.
Yeah, I was gonna say, screw that. Yeah. That's our store. Right. They can come here. Yeah. We have soup.
Yeah. Yeah, who else makes food?
No one yet, so far in the War Machine community.
No. So we got to hang out with Battle Driven guys, like I already said. And if you haven't already listened to them, their podcast is back, and it is great. So you can also find them on the Muse On Network. So check them out.
I agree. You should check them out.
So do you want to go through our rounds like real quick? We don't have to do anything like super in-depth or talk about the lists or anything.
Yeah, I can go real quick. Let me grab my phone to make sure I don't mix the round order up. But okay. Round one, I had Senior Dan Reicher from Battle Driven. It's a great segue.
You're
he
welcome.
Had been told by Jeff, the other member of Battle Driven, that he should play Siege as his Quickstraw. And Reicher said, nah.
Nah, fam, I got this.
So he had Striker 1 and Haley 2, and... I found this out after our game. The one person he was saying to Jeff that he didn't want to play today was conveniently me. because I brought the same Shade 2 list that he beat in Nova with Haley 2. But it was on a Arcane Bolt assassination run, which was pretty sweet. This time out, no way am I letting Thorn anywhere near Shade. So he plays Striker 1. And yeah, it was... You kind of just wait out the feet. Even under the feet. Like, I think I killed like a Storm Lance... like six or seven of storm the storm infantry storm blades,
yeah.
And like jammed up some stuff. Like it was, yeah.
Which is like way more work than you as the Striker 1 player really want to have happen. Like you just are like, all right, everything's like arm 25 or 7. Like it's cool. You're not going to kill anything.
Yeah. The other thing is Striker 1's a upkeep buff bot, and every turn, aside from, because he went first, aside from bottom of one, I sent it back to him. Like I ended my turn. He had zero upkeeps out every time. I just kept hex blasting off things.
Yeah, which is just painful. Terrible for, yeah, that's just awful.
Yeah, so I mean his Hurricane had snipe on it. I hex blasted that all every time. The arcane shield on the one unit got hex blasted off. He dropped blur. He put blur out on turn one, then dropped it turn two forward. So there's only two out of turn, but we hex blasted off both every turn.
Sure.
So that was rough. But next round, I played Lich 1.
Hold on. I'll do mine. We'll go round by round.
Oh, we're going round by round? I'm sorry.
Yeah, motherfucker. I had Dave Desjardins. I don't know how you...
You got it right.
Yeah. I guess he's kind of a nomad now, but he was playing Butcher 3. I had brought Siege and Haley 2, the same Siege list that I talked about 2 weeks ago that I liked from WTC. I wanted to try and start with that and then kind of tech it, tweak it to how I liked it as my Crix drop. So he had Butcher 3. I forget what his other list was, but I think it was Winter Guard, so I was like pretty positive he was just going to drop Butcher 3. I dropped Haley. And we played a pretty just cagey, like I kind of overloaded one sign because I had a Centurion and just kind of sent it into the other zone and was like, go ahead, like you're not going to do anything to this zone. And he sent basically all his jacks toward the one zone and I kind of just controlled them around, but he was just slowly pushing everything forward. I did take Thorn, run him over. I think he forgot about that spell, and I dominated the behemoth that was being run by the Greyforge Seer and turned him around and beat the shit out of his own Forge Seer that was running him and then feed it on him. So, like, that was sweet. You can't see, but Ryan's making a really sour face.
Well, I'm just like, that's really rough.
No, it was bad.
Behemoth and
yeah.
Because, I mean, you had to kill it, right? Matt 7,
Armor Pierce. Absolutely blew him up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fucked up.
My dice, like, totally abandoned me. I think I took six shots with the Stormstrider, boosted all of the damage rolls, and I did 8 points to his heavy total.
Was it one of the 23 heavies?
No, they were arm 20. So he finally, I saw in leaving Thorn there, I had feeded on all his jacks and Butcher, but he was able to get close enough to Impending Doom. Thorn in, and I'm like, well, I'm going to lose Thorn, and this is not going to go well, but I had feeded on his other two heavies that I was just going to take the next turn, but then I was going to have to deal with Ruin and another heavy, and he ends up missing an attack with Butcher on Thorn, so I walked away, and he didn't pull me all the way base to base, so I was out of his melee range. So he had to Energizer, because I think he just messed up when he didn't put me base to base when he Impending Doomed me.
Yeah.
So he actually missed a four.
It's not a May. He gets drug all the way.
I don't know. It didn't end up really mattering. Yeah. He ends up energizing forward and swings.
Yeah.
He kills Thorn, but he had defeat to do it, and he sat on like. He was on two focus.
Ooh, that's not
out in the middle
good.
Of the table.
Yeah.
Again, my dice kind of almost failed me. It came down to last. I forgot he had tough and my last attack, and he goes to roll. I'm like, what's going on? He's like, tough. I'm like, fuck. Like, I don't have any more attacks. Like, I'm out. Luckily for me, he fails the tough check, and I end up winning. So that was good. Go ahead. You're round two, Brad.
My round two, I play against Senior Klein, Mr. John Klein, playing Circle. It was Mosar 1 and something. Kruger 2. Sorry, just came back. He ends up playing Mosar. I play Lich 1. A couple things happen in this game. He, at the end of the game, remembered that Doppler Bark affects undead models, and throughout the course of the game, forgot the Mechanithralls were ambushing. So, don't get me wrong, it was still a fairly close game. He got in a lot of work, mostly because of the Death Wolves with Overtake and the Heart Tokens. And I have Mechanithralls and Carrion Thralls, so you can basically just walk through them. That and, like, Crevasse Sprays still just remove Soul Hunters. So I ended up losing a lot, but through getting a jump up on the attrition game and kind of throwing models to keep them out of the scenario elements, because it was the Pit 2, I was able to get up on scenario. The one interesting thing that happened that game that makes me just continue to sing the praise of this model is he had the Cav unit, not the Mist Riders. What's the other one?
Druid something? The Goats?
No, not the Goats. Not the Mist Riders. It's the melee one. Doesn't matter. He had the other Cav unit. I just remember they were armor 11. I ran an Arknode forward and dropped Parasite on it. And
Wolf
then,
Riders.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. And then my Corruptor went forward and Burster shot at the middle one and killed four of the Cav models in one shot.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, well, it's dice off four. The Parasite makes it dice off one on the AoE. So yep. I need sixes to kill and got it three times.
Nice.
Yeah, that's...
So, yeah, that was... The Corruptor did more work that game than pretty much any other model on the table.
So Brad's 2-0. My second round, I get Mr. Jeff Fredrickson playing Grimkin. Which I have never seen until then. So
you haven't played Grimkin yet?
Nope. Nobody's playing.
I didn't know that.
No, nobody's playing.
I would have messed with the pairings for you then.
You fucking should have.
Didn't you play me in CID with that shit?
No, you never played me when in CID with the Grimkin. So, I mean, I've read some stuff, but it's one of those, you know, it's like everything else. You haven't seen it. Jeff is obviously a far superior player to me as well. So
don't tell him that. His ego's already large enough.
It's fine. I like him, so that's fine.
oh my God.
It was bad. So he was playing Child and King of Nothing, and don't even ask me why. Siege was the right drop. It's not a great drop, but...
Yeah, but no, he's the drop into both those
But
lists.
Haley is just horrible. Like, that was That's just a terrible answer.
Yeah.
And in a panic move of not knowing what they did, I went for comfort because I'm more comfortable with Haley than I am with Siege. So I dropped Haley and immediately...
Dropped Child
like,
into you?
I was immediately like, this is bad. Like, he's got Cage Ragers with starting with Souls. He's got fucking Wailing he can put out if he needed it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So it was bad. And
Child shits all over Signar.
I spent
anyway.
Like 12 minutes on my first turn just because they're deceptively far up the table. So he gets like two Skinning Moons up just hanging out behind a wall, like in the middle of the table. And I'm like, well, he can give him Pathfinder. If I move my Stormclads more than like 4 inches, he can charge them. And
how many souls did they have on him?
One.
Just the one?
Yeah, just the one. But still, like, I don't know. With Child, I feel like he can get their power up.
Yeah, I mean,
easily.
He can. It just...
I also kept forgetting about Stealth on Gremlin Swarm, so I kept like, oh, I'm just going to shoot that one with the Storm Strider, and then, like, I'm going to give magic weapons from my objective and shoot that one. Like, oh, no, it's out of five. It's Stealth. Like, okay, well, now what's my Storm Strider going to do? Like, kill some Dreadrots. Like, neat. That was totally useful activation. I was just super nervous, and I did not have any clue about what was going to happen. And, I mean, he just completely decimated me. I put Jakes out because I'm like, oh, he doesn't have any ranged attacks. Like, it's going to be fine. I'm just going to leave Jakes here. And he's like, all right, so I'm going to move this Cage Rager over, and I'm just going to throw a Force Hammer into Jakes.
Yeah.
I have boosted 8, I think, and he missed, luckily, so Jakes lived. So then I was able to half take that out with the Centurion, but then instead of just... It didn't matter. It was he completely outplayed me, and I was never really in that game to begin with. So you're round 3, Brad, at 2-0.
Yeah, my round 3, I draw the Scorn playing Rich Owens. Mm-hmm. We had played at the beginning of Mark 3, over a year ago at this point, and haven't played since then. And he was playing Trolls last time.
Yep.
So he has a Zadesh 2 in theme. And a Makeda 1 out of theme. He plays Makeda 1. I played Lich 1. I wasn't sure if Lich 1 could handle the Beast Brick in the second list, but I knew that the Makeda 1 list had a couple things. It was a lot of high defense models combined with Wrong Eye Snapjaw, and my Shade 2 list would never hit through those models because the only map fixing is Tartarus. In retrospect, I feel like I probably should have played Shade because the other aspects in the list were shield guards because of Makeda 1's what's it called? Field Marshal. And he also had Orin in the list. So my trying to use a Corruptor to create an Arc Node out of things and then trying to become a Spell Assassin were very, very limited because I had to get through Orin and shoot things that weren't near shield guards to make use of the Corruptor. So all in all, his list kind of answered all of the threats that I brought. The only thing I had going for me was his feat allows him to take a damage point to keep models alive, similar to like a Harvey, if she only rolled ones the whole time for the damage she took, and it's the control area. So the reason I thought it would be a little bit better is I had Stalker, so I have Grievous Wounds in there to kind of get around the feat for the few models that get it. Except I had deployed them on the other side of a forest. I measure the threat ranges for things across from them and measure the threat ranges for the blood runners that were in the list. But I didn't measure as well as I could have for a single, the solo blood runner was able to charge one of the two stalkers. And with doing that really made the jockeying for my turn two very strange to where I couldn't get in like much work at all with the stalkers onto the defeated unit. And then from there was just kind of bullied around because I never really had a great, any great pressure for assassination. And I didn't use the Soul Hunters correctly. I threw them in on a Cyclops thinking that I could get some appreciable work in through his feet turn.
Right.
So I'm thinking I have Cav charges, Only two of them would get caught by the Starcross. I can land Sliding Touch and Parasite, so even if a couple of them miss, I have a 5-point armor swing, and none of them hit. Yeah, and then they all died.
Boosted, huh?
Yeah, it didn't help. Yeah, so that wasn't great. And then the two of them that were, like, hanging back, like, waiting for the turn after, what was really interesting, really cool to see on the table, is they sent Malakarn in on them. And I'm like, oh, sweet. I can get, like, a counter, something to get on Malakarn. So he kills the first Soul Hunter, sidesteps to the second one, kills the second one, sidesteps backwards, and puts up Fate Walker, and then repos another three backwards, and, like, there's nothing in threat range again.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, all right, I guess I don't touch Malakarn this turn.
Nope. Well, Malakarn now has gone from being, he was this incredibly deep-reaching bullet that you just couldn't stop. Now he's this incredibly yo-yo-y kind of model where if you let him do what he wants to do, you will never get a clean attack factor on him.
Yeah, Rich played extremely well. I didn't have any great, not that I didn't have any great answers, but I didn't play my strengths well enough. And if I had played Shade 2, the game is interesting because I have a really strong recursion mechanic. He only has one basically for a turn, and if I don't go for the infantry, he doesn't have one. But the trick is, can I hit through Starcross? And
right.
I don't know. So, yeah, I mean, if I could do it again, I'd probably still pick Lich 1. I'm just more cognizant of when I'm going in on things.
Right.
So I lose round 3.
Yep. I get the other part of Battle Driven, and I get Mr. Riker, so we get a little Signar on Signar Crime, both of us with Storm Division lists, so that was exciting.
Woo-hoo.
Both with Haley 2 Storm Division lists, and was like, well, I didn't have any infantry clearing in mind, and he had Striker, so I was like, I'm pretty sure I'm like almost positive he dropped Striker, and I have to drop Siege. And like from the beginning, we're both just not excited about this match.
No, that
like,
sounds like
this is fucking like
shit.
Both of us are like, this is fucking miserable. Like he has a Hurricane who is just gonna have AoEs. I have two Storm Striders who just do nothing except hold a zone. Like
they've
that's,
got kicks.
Yeah, that's right. They have Pal 13 stomps into Arcane Shielded like.
But
storm
you're playing
blades.
Siege, right?
Yeah.
They're like Pal 26.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So
how that math works.
I make an immediate mistake on deployment, and I set my Storm Lances up on the flank because I'm like, oh, I'm going to push like super hard to the side because I think he's going to come over on this side, on the other side, excuse me. And I should have, and we talked about this after. Dan was super sweet. I had a really good time talking to him about Signar and stuff, but I should have just sent them straight forward right up the middle because none of his guns outside of the AoEs can do jack shit to them.
Yeah, they're invincible.
And the Stormblades just don't threat far enough. Even
and when you come in on the Stormblades
between
impact attacks and lance attacks, you kill a whole squad.
Yep, exactly. So, I mean, except under Striker Feet turn. And I don't do that, and so I have nothing in the middle of the table other than my two Chargers and my two Fireflies, and he just balls out his Stormblades, one unit with Blur, one unit with Arcane Shield, mini feet. And is like, come at me, bro. What do you got?
And you get fucked.
So then the next turn he feats, and I'm sitting there, and I have Siege kind of in the middle because I wanted to be in the trench because you still have to respect the Striker Earthquake because he could still kill me with the Hurricane AoEs. Maybe not if I had just Arcane Shielded Siege, then I probably didn't have to care.
Yeah, two boosted Pal 14s doesn't seem like enough.
Hmm?
Two boosted Pal 14s doesn't seem like enough.
It's just like more of the because he had. Remember the Stormblades are like super in my face, so I have to worry about them getting a charge on me. And I kind of make a bad decision that I'm going to because he scores some points because I do not move up far enough with my Striders. So I make a bad decision that I'm going to feat and try to clear out my own zone and then try to get my Storm Strider into the far zone, but I don't make that decision until I already activate the Storm Strider. And this is under Striker's feet, by the way. So I end up using it to try to kill like five dudes just to keep myself in the game. And I also needed a Storm Lance to kill a Stormblade Captain over a wall.
On feet turn.
I needed a 10. It was a 50. Yeah, I mean, he's armor. Was he 16? I think he goes to 21, and I'm Pal 16, so I need a 10. Like, it wasn't awful. I need a boosted 10, so it was worth a shot. I just didn't have anything else that could get there. I think I could have got a second Storm Lance in, but I had already made the stupid decision in my head that the rest were just going to run and, like, sit at the edge of the zone and just charge anything else that comes in so that I could score to that zone, try to score my own, and now I'm back in the game. And I don't do that. I pretty much do nothing, and it was just ugly. Like, neither of us were happy about the matchup, but I just did not play. I did not play it well at all.
Yeah,
super panicked once the Stormblades were in Siege's face. So I take a loss and drop to 1-2, and sadly that'll be my last game of the day because I end up drawing the bye round 4 after several players drop. So you're round 4, Brad.
Yeah, sorry about that. No, my round 4.
All good. I would rather have the bye for driving 15 minutes than you giving it to someone that drove 2 hours. So I know that's not, you didn't pick it that way, but
it wasn't something that was given. It was kind of just...
No, I know. That's what I mean. Drawn. That's what I said. Like, you didn't pick it. It was drawn that way. I'm just saying I'm glad it was me over one of the guys that drove 2.5 hours to come play.
Right. So, I'm sorry. My round 4, I play against James Lesko, the XPG, if you will, from Ice House. Interestingly enough, James messages me about a week and a half before this steamroller. And says, I'm tired of playing my steamroller pair that I've been playing. I just played it at Nova. I've been playing it nonstop for a couple months. I want to play something different. And kind of a longstanding tradition that myself, Ireland, Derek sometimes jumps in on it. I think Nate jumped in on it. And now for the first time, James jumped in on it. We have this tradition where we'll pick each other's casters.
Yep.
And it kind of just happens at the Nirvana events. So again, he messages me, and I give him Raven and Ron. Was his list pair. So when we go to play against each other, I, after playing Lich 1 in the past 2 rounds, really, really don't want to play Lich 1.
Yeah, you decided before the game started, right? You were like, I'm playing Shade 2. Like, I don't care.
Well, I did and I didn't. I mean, so I was fairly certain you wouldn't play Ronin to me. I was fairly certain I was getting Raven. And the Raven theme, I forget the name of it, but it's the one where the warrior models have takedown. So he has like a unit of infiltrators in the list. There's stuff that's going to be RFPing my dudes, which isn't great for Shade. Not only that, Raven's running a Hyperion, so like has the crit, everyone gets RFP'd thing. Like, it's just really bad for Shade.
Yeah, that sounds really bad for any, pretty much any Crick's list with that kind of stuff in it.
Yeah, and then I say, fuck it, and I play Shade 2 anyway. And he plays Raven. So it's the matchup I didn't want, and here we are. So, with that all being said, I go second, I think? Yeah, I go second. I went second, which is like, feels bad because everything has advanced deploy and they're all on my side of the table now.
Yep.
Which is great. So my turn 1 just has things like scooching forward, trying to not get seen. I don't do anything my turn 1. His turn 2, I don't think anything crazy happened. All in all, to kind of fast forward this game, it was my turn 2 or 3. I go for this far-fetched, really not probable assassination run.
Like, but it had odds. There were odds.
There were odds on it.
Yeah, like, they were just
so
bad.
The things that all had to happen to go over how this would have to work is the Wraith Engine had to make a machine Wraith out of one of the guys in the... what's it called? You know, the... Crossbows.
Strike Force.
Mage Strike Force. I have no map fixing, so I just have 3 attempts to kill a guy. We then hit and kill that one guy, make a Machine Wraith out of him. I'm sorry, prior to all this, we had cast Curse of Shadows on the Mage Hunter Strike Force. So we land Curse of Shadows, we kill a Mage Hunter, make a Machine Wraith. That Machine Wraith then activates and charges an Aspis that's like standing right in the charge lane. So we charge and hit the Aspis, do like whatever damage to it, and move it just laterally out of the way. From there, we then have to use our Defiler to try and spray down a couple of the Spears of Syra. We get both of the guys we need. So we get both of the Spears of Syra killed that we need to get killed. I'm lying to you. I'm so sorry. It was 1 Spear of Syra and 1 Void Tracer. So we get both of those things, at which point the Bane Riders had to go. They can then charge through the Mage Hunter Strike Force. I need to impact and kill my own Machine Wraith that I used to move the Aspis out of the way, but I have its back arc, so that works out. We hit and kill the Machine Wraith on an impact attack. That Bane Rider then continues in and gets the charge on the Raven. Perfect. One's done.
The second one
then has to go, again, charging through the Mage Hunter Strike Force, and has to impact and kill the Second of three Spears of Syra. It's mat 8 because Tartarus is around for the vet leader. But even so, we need to hit a hard 9. And then we're dice plus 1. So good chances we kill it. Sad news is we don't hit that dice plus. I'm sorry, we don't hit that 9. So that Bane Rider stops in its tracks, which then further blocks the third Bane Rider. If that Bane Rider had killed in the impact attack, that Bane Rider makes it to the charge on the Raven, and a third Bane Rider charges Raven. With that Bane Rider failing to kill on the impact attack, I block the third one. And the second one fails, of course. So the last two Bane Riders then just charge Hyperion, and the fifth Bane Rider runs backwards because I'm playing Shade 2 and I have to keep a guy alive.
Yep.
So the one guy that charges, I think, gets in like 4 damage through a focus spent onto Raven. The second one stands there in front of a Spear of Syra. And the other two do like something to the Hyperion.
I think it was, I don't know if you did anything else. It wasn't great. I had come over, he had only taken like 17 points of damage to his grid or whatever it was.
I think 10, I did less than that.
10, yeah, it was, he hadn't even taken out the force field. So
I think I got like two points past the force field with both Bane Riders, and like that was it. And then like the rest of my turn was like not really doing much because I spent all of my resources into going for that like downtown nonsense. So it's his next turn, and some things happen. Like, infiltrators go in, kill some Bane warriors. Narn just keeps killing one or two guys a turn and running away. Like, it's just not great. but, like, the game's still going. It goes back to me. And I'm like, all right, well, I got to do what I can. So Shade starts throwing himself into melee and kills, like, 3 to 4 infiltrators a turn, which is pretty great. Which then opens up the charge lane for that one Bane Rider that was left to kill Iris 3, who was on the infiltrators. And like, all in all, we were playing Breakdown. All in all, starts with me opening up my left circle zone to the point to where I kill all the infiltrators on that side and start scoring it. So at this point, I think he had 3 control points and I had 1. And we start getting into like round 5 and higher. It starts getting close. I'm able to feat for the few models I got killed by range attacks. I think I feat 6 models total back onto the table. Which means I still have 3 scrap thralls to play with. Those 3 scrap thralls really kind of did a lot because they were able to run from my table edge into a trench for a turn. The turn after that, one of them charges in and kills 2 Strike Force members because he misses his charge attack and then just blows up. Just POW 8s on armor 11 guys. So next turn, another one charges and kills another Strike Force. Same thing, misses his charge attack but just does a POW 8 to him. And then the turn after that, another one runs in and contests his circle zone. But all in all, through like the last 3 turns of the game, I'm able to kill the Hyperion with my unit of Bane Rider. I'm sorry, Bane Warriors that were still left alive. And we're able to have like, I feeded 2 Bane Riders back. So I had a unit of 3. They were able to go through and start cleaning up like the solos and some guys that were like behind the Hyperion, like the Arcanists. And we turned it into like a east-west game where I was able to get my circle zone and the rectangle zone, scoring both with Shade, whereas he was only in his circle. And eventually I was able to creep back and win on control points. I think like it was either 7-5 or 8-5. Oh, that doesn't really matter. Yeah, like,
which, yeah, and because I had come over multiple times and you weren't like talking shit, but you were in your like element of like, oh, he's gonna miss, like you know, just doing like typical Brad things in the game. And he was just like, it doesn't matter because I'm gonna lose. Like, it did not look like it was going well for you when I walked
over. Yeah, I was saying this to James the whole time, and I meant it sincerely. It wasn't like me taunting, like when I'm in a really advantaged matchup and saying like, oh, I'm gonna lose. And, like, I was being sincere and saying like, I don't think I have a chance in this game.
But like, Brad just keeps saying playing. Like, I'm just gonna lose. Like, I'm gonna lose this game. Like, I can't win. I'm not gonna win. I just get shit on, like, completely.
So you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but I have found that with most of the scenarios now, if you're the one who's able to turn it into an east-west instead of a north-south fight, it's such a huge advantage on scenario. Now, I don't know if that's just because I've been playing a lot of Convergence, which is, you know, an attrition-heavy army, but every time I'm able to turn the table sideways, those scenarios get ridiculously
overpowered. Well, I think generally if you're turning the table sideways, it's because you've cleared out what's north-south of you that side, right?
I've done it before where it was like someone backs off a little bit to stay out of threat ranges or something. Not necessarily killing, but just maneuvering stuff around. Every time it seems to happen, it's like my chances of winning on scenario go through the freaking roof.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting. So Brad Oh, and in the middle of all this, remember Brad had alluded to Riker, Jeff telling Riker he should have played Siege. At every point in his three rounds, first three rounds, he looks over at Jeff and is like, I really wish I had Siege right now.
So, all in all, at the end of the day, though, end up going 3-1. Interestingly enough, after we break up all the 3-1s to the side, there was 5 3-1s in a field of 18. When doing the strength of schedule, I landed in second. And then my first round opponent landed in third, tying on strength of schedule, and then winning out on control points.
Which is, so, like, you pointed that out, and I'd never thought about that. You guys played in round one. Neither of you were on final table and still took second and third, respectively. Which,
yep.
Strength
of schedule is weird. Strength of schedule can be really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what's so better, but...
The thing is, the guy that lost on top table, the guy that beat me in round three, was the person that tied Riker for strength of schedule. But I think had like three less control points on the day.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, all in all, very, very close and well fought day. It was no easy rounds, at least for myself.
Yeah, nope. We had a good turnout and we had a great time. And again, thanks to everybody for taking the trip because for most people it was quite a hike. So we appreciate the turnout and it was an awesome day. Got to meet a lot of awesome people and play some good games.
Let's talk about things that apply to people in other metas.
Yeah, let's do that. So, since we have been away, there's been a bunch of themes that have come out. And we're going to talk about them now because the theme dump's going to happen and it's going to drop like 16 themes. And we're just like not going to have time to cover all of that in an episode. So, the first one, and Brad, you might know the benefits of this off the top of your head. And if you don't, that's fine, was Dark Industries.
It's Black Industries.
Black Industries, sorry. I don't know why I kept saying Dark Industries.
Well, because Dark Industries was the name of my ability on the Withershadow Combine in Mark II.
Yep. Yeah, that's why.
That's the name of the Morton Abra theme, too, wasn't it?
It very well might have been. I don't remember the name of her theme.
Right.
But Dark Industries was like where the Combine kills a Jack and kills a Jack and makes a Jack.
And makes the Seed a Jack, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that one went away, of course.
So this theme is focused around heavies, around warjacks and the models that support them. You can take Iron Lich Overseer, Withershadow Combine, Warwitch Siren, and solos with Battlegroup Controller and all of the mechanics. The only non-Warcaster mechanic is the Necrotech, but there's going to be a unit called the Black Ogryn Ironmongers that are going to be coming out in 2018. You can take Machine Wraith, Scrap Thralls, Soul Trappers. And a mercenary solo and unit that will work.
The other thing that's allowed in there beyond these mercenary minion stuff, mercenary minion solo and unit, is you can take Cephalix.
Right, that's correct. So the second benefit is for every full 30 points of warjacks, you can add a Crix warjack that costs 7 points or less for free.
All the free arc nodes.
Yep, so free arc nodes for fucking days.
I mean, the Arknodes are cool, but like in that you also have scavengers and trikes.
And Stalkers.
No.
Stalkers. Oh, you can't take that. That's right. That is right. The third benefit is super fucking good. It's Carapace on the heavy warjacks. So +4 armor against shooting and free strikes.
Gives them the best stat line in the game against ranged attacks.
Yeah, because they're def 13.
Yeah.
Right? So, sure.
Yeah.
And then the final benefit is 2 more inches of deployment zone. So that's, in my opinion, I still think that's probably been the best
I think that's theme benefit. The generalized, that's one of the best ones. Mm-hmm. I think, especially for Crix, considering the speed of the stuff that's in that list,
great.
Is insane. Yeah.
So a lot of people were freaking out about this one when it first came out. There was a lot of like, because everyone misread it and was like, oh my God, my Kraken's going to be,
yeah,
have Carapace and all these lights are going to have Carapace. It's only the heavy warjacks. Don't get me wrong, it's still really fucking good.
I'll be honest, my issue with this, because I was one of the people, this is one of the things, I am such a troll as far as lurking on forums and threads and stuff. This actually got me to post into
public.
Yeah,
you were I one was, of the vocal, like, what the fuck, this is bullshit.
My issue with it isn't that it by itself is completely, it's not, this. I think this is one of those that, this is as close as you get to overpowered without breaking something, but I just, Crix had a weakness. You were never going to see anything crazy good out of their heavies. They were actual glass cannons to turn to the 11. They were hard to hit. They could hit incredibly hard because Crix has all the debuffs.
Not themselves.
No, yes. Yeah. But you have to,
of course,
if Kador had something, you know what I mean? Cross faction is not really comparable, but they have the damage potential to kill colossals with one heavy or two heavies. And now they're going to be immune to one of the things that they were weak against. If you take a faction and make it so that there's no weaknesses in the faction, it was enough to get me actually talking.
No, I did, Ryan. I was like, oh, this is bullshit. So they're speed 6, def 13, now they're going to be arm 22 against ranged.
Here's the thing, though.
You have to get, like, you didn't see Krix heavies, like, almost at all.
I understand. It's good for the company as a company. No question, because you're going to sell more Krix heavies, obviously. I just don't know, and
the least amount of boxes of any of the jacks outside of like Rhett but they have force fields, so different.
Yeah, animal. I'm not trying to compare it to the Rhett jacks. I just in a faction that has the ability to turn them to 900, and still now that you've gotten rid of one of the weaknesses. The weakness was, yes, I can shoot the arms off it. You're probably not shooting the arms off it with one round.
You probably still can. Brad, jump in here. Why?
Now all of a sudden you guys fight because Grant's in the right here, Ryan. The jacks are great, in that, well, let me rephrase that. The jacks are the worst part about Krix.
Right.
Especially anything past the Stalker. So just for like a point of reference, I had a Slayer based chassis, that I was playing a game with recently, and two Dreadrots charged it, knocked out a Cortex and an arm. Like, this theme doesn't change that at all. Beyond that, in the theme, the thing that's best about Krix is all of its infantry, and you can take literally none of it outside of Cephalix Drudges, which, you know, no one's writing home about how good they are.
Yes.
You have no screening units, and it's only giving you the benefits you're only getting Carapace on the heavies. So, like, you have to look at, like, what's the most interesting, like the most compelling choices to take within the list. Like, maybe it's Seethers. So the defense 12, they'd be armor 21. But the problem is, like, they're going to charge in. They only have a 1-inch melee range, so if you're against infantry, you're not going to do a whole lot. If you're against another opponent's heavy jack, like, probably pretty good.
But you wouldn't drop this. You have your other list for that. I understand. I'm not.
Ask a follow up question: is if you have your other list and your other list is better, why are you bringing this list?
So this is my issue with this. It's not the theme. And don't get me wrong. Like I said, I don't feel like the theme is broken. I think the people who are saying it's broken are not respecting the fact that they're not going to have Satixis in front of these jacks. They're not going to, like you said, the only thing they're going to have, they do have a screening unit. They can have Drudges in front of it. But let's be fair here, Drudges outside of the Cephalix list themselves just fall over. So my issue with it isn't necessarily the list itself. I think it's an interesting list. I think you'll get something. It lets PP sell more models, which, let's be fair here, we want them to sell more models. And it also lets Krix players do something they haven't really been able to do, which is put 6 or 7 heavies on the table and have an expectant that you can drop that into something and it's not just a horrible list. My issue is, why would you play it? Because the things that necessarily answer a Ghost Fleet or Dark Host list will not crack that kind of armor. And they're not going to be good. So that it gives you, instead of now it being like, okay, I've got a field for 40% of the field or whatever Krix is up to again. All right, I've got a good infantry list. It's not going to be perfect, but it'll give me a fight into Krix. And then they have this in their pairing. And you go, well, I'm just fucked if I get this wrong. Because if you drop that anti-infantry into a jack list, it's not going to do well.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I think whatever your thing that you're going to play in the Ghost Fleet probably equally plays just fine into
Dark
Black Industries.
Oh, Black, yeah, not Dark.
Right,
Coast.
I mean, so the thing with Carapace is it's best on things that have a range presence,
right?
Because that's the game they want to play. And like the best range jack that Krix has that's going to get the benefit of Carapace, because you can't get it on the Kraken or Sepulcher, is like a Leviathan.
Well, it also helps your melee heavies get there, because that was the problem.
That's what I said before, is they get there.
To be fair, I'm not super, I'm more in the, I'm Switzerland in this, because I do think this is an extremely, extremely powerful ability. I'm probably on the border of thinking that it's not okay, but like, I think it is. Like, I'm very in the middle and on the fence on this one. So I just want to make that clear.
all I'm getting at is them getting to melee is great, except you're running a low model count army in a faction that generally doesn't run warjacks, and it's not maybe necessarily even the fault of the warjacks, but the warcasters around them. Like, our best warjack casters are, like, Mort Nebra or Venithrax, maybe Denegra 3 if you're going out on a limb. And, like, all of them, kind of collectively, by kind of their own design, just help jacks get there. Mort Nebra with Overrun, Venithrax with Terminal Velocity and Countercharge. Denegra 3 actually doesn't help them get there, but has the ability to fuel them all up with soul tokens. So getting there, short of Denegra 3, let's use my first two, they already got there. Like, between Overrun, between Terminal Velocity,
and
between Coven, statistics. Coven just feeding, you can't shoot at them.
Yeah.
Them getting there already happens. Like, Carapace is great, but I think it benefits more the Krix gun lines, Krix Jack gun lines, which just don't really exist. And even with Carapace, I find it relatively hard to believe that a Krix gun line will outshoot another dedicated gun line. And any melee heavy force is probably still going to get to you in melee. And then two, you still get hit and killed just as easily in melee.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't help you survive in melee. There's no question about that.
If you're looking for like a good counterbalance, the theme force we haven't talked about yet gives a benefit to warjacks that I think may be just better. Like, if you're trying to run like warjack heavy, the benefit it gives to warjacks in the other list is like,
well,
it's impressive.
So here's my, I know you can, is there units you can take in this outside of a Merc unit currently?
Cephalix Dredges.
Yeah, the Dredges.
So,
and I guess Cephalix Overlords.
So I guess the issue with this list is in SR 2017 post WTC. I could tell you as a heavy metal player, not having a unit sucks. Like, it's hard.
I built a list for this that I kind of liked, and it was Scavers playing with Drudges and Overlords. I'm sorry, I'm lying to you. I'm very much lying to you. It was Mort Nebra 1 playing with Drudges and Overlords, so that way you have like the feat to reroll all of the Overlord sprays, and like you have a relatively tough unit to dislodge from Zunders to get all of them. It's a stealth unit where they can all operate relatively independently and only need one to stay alive. But even then, like, I don't know if that list is like just better in Infernal Machines, where I have better infantry choices and more solos available to me, or better in the Theme Force again that we haven't hit on yet, where I again have better infantry choices available to me and similar solo choices available to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now this is my other issue, and that's fine, and I haven't seen it on the table, so I could be I have a concern, and until I see it on the table, I probably will always have that concern, just because the Defense 13 Armor 21 heavies makes my Kador heart cry like a little baby. Speed 6. But I feel like Carapace is too strong for a theme benefit. I really do.
I think in any other faction that might be true. I mean, Pete did message and brought up a good point. I mean, Carapace stops a random POW 10 gun from taking out an arm on one of the Krix heavies, which happens all the time. I've done that with E-leaps and been like, oh shit, I rolled a 10 on my E-leap. Like,
yeah, but
fuck.
Here's the thing. Carapace doesn't come up against E-leaps.
Sure doesn't. No, there's things around. There's absolutely things around Carapace. One thing I
or
think
spells.
One like, issue. I don't know that it's not an issue, but one thing I think a lot of people aren't talking about with this is most of the things you're getting for free are 4 or 5 point CAs, UAs, solos. These are 7 point lights.
Okay, so here's my other thing. That's what I remember reading that people crying foul, like, you can get 21 free points, like, at most. The thing is, though, the theme forces you get a lot of points from. Like, let's take Oracles, right? Their theme benefits, or their free points they're getting from that list, aren't getting them more Warbies. It's not like they're spending 90 points and then getting 3 Nagas, or, like, getting Nephilim or whatever.
I don't get an extra heavy in heavy metal. I get Junior.
Yeah.
Well, no, what I'm getting at is it's better to have gotten the solos for free, because I can take over 100 points of Warjacks, but now I have no support to run them.
Sure.
No, whereas if you bring like an average support package, you're really not reasonably going to be able to go over 90 points for 3 free things.
But 3 free things is 21 points.
No, this is
but they don't ever get there. You don't have a screening unit. You don't have the support to run them.
I totally agree with him on this one. I think the free arc nodes is the least benefit of this, and this is even compared to other themes, specifically for that. Think about, so the one of the lists that I can bring that can bring a ridiculous amount of free points is the Destruction Initiative. I'm bringing immunity to shooting. he's bringing something he's already can bring, and it's 30 points. He's got to get 30 points of Warjacks.
No, I know, and that is a lot, and I get that.
The point cost to bring it is super high, and then I just don't see...
But even getting to two is two Arc Nodes you're getting that you didn't have to pay for. You can still take your support.
I'd rather have the Wither Shadow in
your points and get your Arc Nodes.
So no, I mean, if you're taking two. If you're taking the mythical 21, you don't have any points left
Grant,
if I can hit the point you're talking about where you're like saying you're getting 14 free points even if you only take 60, right? Like, there are lists that get more than 12.
I'm more than 14. I know. I mean, heavy
the
metal.
The amount of free points isn't absurd.
Yeah. No. It wasn't about that. It was more just getting
all the themes get something for free.
Because it's not just points. I'm getting a 5-box solo.
Who brings 4 focus, and who brings one of the best defensive buffs in the game.
I'm not talking about Junior. I was Jake's strange ways, whatever. I mean, he's 8 boxes.
More focus, more spells, and then strange ways is the least powerful of the grouping you could bring.
I have a speed 7 thing that usually dies to 2 shots.
No, I know that. I'm just saying. I think that's the part.
That being said, speed 7 Arc Nodes are amazing. But what I'm getting is I don't think having up to 21 free points, I think, is a trap. Like, because
no, I do too.
Nothing.
I do too. You have nothing.
Yeah. I think even getting 14 free points, if you say get 60 points of Warjacks or whatever it is, and take like 2 free Ripjaws to get your 2 free Arc Nodes, like, I don't think that is absurd at all. Like,
no. It's not compared to the other themes. It's just one of the problems we had originally was like, oh, fucking Kingmakers gets 8-point solo.
And one other thing to touch on, the things you're getting for free don't benefit from Carapace.
No,
whereas
agreed.
The solos, I mean, again, just because we're drawing the lines, the souls you're getting then gain reposition.
I'm just bringing up the points. I don't think that is inherently like broken. That is why I'm in the middle, because yes, you're getting something. It doesn't
now,
get a theme benefit.
I will say, if they gave Carapace even to the lights, list is completely broken.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
The fact that it's only on the heavies is the only reason that's not.
All I'm getting at is I think this theme force is good. I think it's fine. But I think that currently, with the models available in Crix, that if I am trying to build the most competitive list pair I can bring, you're obviously looking at Ghostly. It kind of it forces questions upon your opponent.
Yeah.
And then secondly, I don't think this, in terms of the things that Crix Warcasters bring to the table, will beat out Dark Host currently.
No, what it'll do is it'll get some of the casters that you aren't seeing played get played if they want to play this theme.
Do you see... a couple months down the line from when these all get out, do you see this getting played as, I don't want to say an underdog, as a punch to like I come out of left field? Because I mean, Mort Nobber with this list is scary.
I don't think you're going to catch anyone sleeping with really any Crix pair, and the reason I say that is everyone has to plan for Ghost Fleet, and then because of that, everyone has to plan for the off list.
It's Mark II all over again. Everybody's planning for Crix.
Right. The one thing I can say is this theme force, like, if you could beat an Oracle's list, or if you could beat a heavy metal list, you can beat a Black Industries list. There's nothing going on in Black Industries that you couldn't beat Oracles or you couldn't beat heavy metal list.
Okay.
It's a Jack or Beast Brick or it's a Warjack brick that, for the most part, has the least amount of boxes for any heavy grouping you'll bring, maybe close to Legion. We're both kind of in the high 20s, low 30s boxes for our Jacks.
The defense is also similar there, too.
Right, except, like, if you look at, like, Fianna, who is probably by and far the most popular Oracle's caster, like, we have Crix casters that do a whole number of things, right? But if we're talking about, like, the Oracle's list, like, there's a turn when they're defense 17 and have dodge. Like, and if you get to, and that's all the time, ranged or melee. If you get to melee with something in this theme force, and let's give a Crix caster that's a great comparison to it, probably a Scar 1. A Scar 1 doesn't want this theme force. Like, it's not enough amplification off of her feet.
The plus 5 stuff isn't enough?
This Jax only kills so much in melee. They only have a 1-inch melee range.
Well, yeah, okay.
And the reach 2 one's like...
Does Scar 2 want this with Black Spot? Like, if you take some range jacks, like, does that do anything?
Then you're back to the Leviathan gunline. I'm with Brad on this one. I don't know if that does enough.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's just, I don't know. I think if anything, it's a lists that will be less commonly seen.
Yeah.
It'll help Jax get there with Carapace. One case I forgot to mention, who I was graciously reminded about, was Iacos 2. But, I mean, I don't know. I think you're just probably better off for right now, and for things that have more practice and things that ask questions, like a good Ghost Fleet list with a Coven Dark Host. I'm sorry, a good Ghost Fleet and a Coven Dark Host is just good.
Well, and the thing is, you could, like, not as a dark horse, but bringing this as a, okay, everybody's got a Ghost Fleet answer. I'll bring Black Industries and Dark Hosts or whatever, Infernal Machines. And, okay, mm-hmm. if you're not ready for that,
the thing
your,
is,
your answer can, for Ghost Fleet
I,
is not
I can
this
answer this
answer.
Honestly. Both of those don't answer Cricks.
No, no, I know. I'm just saying.
You're just losing the mirror.
I know that, but I'm just saying if you're like, hey, I want to counter the meta, everybody's teched for Ghost Fleet, yeah. I bring something different. And to be honest, I've always liked the Cricks heavies, and they don't get played, and getting them on the table, if people play
so,
this,
so
would be
with
cool.
All of that being said, I started the game playing Mort Neighbor 1. I have all of the heavies, and I'm very excited to play them. So as much like Shizm talking this, I'll be playing it.
Oh, well, then it can't be good if you're going
to
play it.
So hey, so well. we've got 16 of these, something like that, to go through, and we've done one.
We only have like four right now.
Yeah.
Oh, is it all?
Yeah,
I thought there was more.
We're fine. Don't worry about it. All right, the next one was another Crix theme.
The one we've been hinting at the entire time.
What?
This? Just go ahead.
This is Slaughter Fleet Raiders. So this is living non-Satixis Crix piracy. So in this one, so you can have Black Ogryn, Blighted Trollkin, and Shard models. Black Fleet Raiders doesn't have the largest selection of options, blah, 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 blah. You will get some other upcoming releases. Let's see.
This is one of those that this was down the pipe,
yeah.
And everything's getting released
yeah.
now.
You can take one Merc unit, one Merc solo. The Devil Shadow Mutineers become a Crix unit choice in the theme rather than a Merc. And for every 20 points you spend on Crix units, you get to add a solo or command attachment free of cost. And you're going to want that because Warjacks in this theme get Gangfighter. So +2 to attack and damage rolls when making melee attacks against enemy models within the melee range of another friendly faction warrior model. And then +2 inches of deployment.
Yep. So this one's funny just because do Crix Jacks really need the +2/+2?
No, the problem with this theme isn't even that. It's the units you're allowed to take. This
you don't have anything
just
yet. Yeah.
Garbage.
I will. The Devil Mutineers seems interesting in faction though.
No, they're cool. But like, okay, Black Ogryn boarding party. How many times have you ever seen them on the table?
So
I was waiting for him to talk because I've played against them from him playing them.
Yeah, sure.
Once or twice. No, so the Devil Shadow really only have a home with Denegra 1 for the most part. Maybe Denegra 3 if you're going real wacky, because she also brings the Scourge, and like then you have the Black Penny Weapon Master, and if you're doing all this, you're bringing Rock Bottom, some money shotted Zira. So you're really going to town for like the Scourge Parasite or like Scourge Mortality or whatever it is. So that's all an option for you. The actual theme itself, outside of the Devil Shadow Mutineers, I think is going to be very interesting. So with the Shard models going through, with the boarding party going through, Blood Gorgers going through, and then presumably Garrulok, they're all going to hit CID.
Yep.
The boarding party, Blood Gorgers, and Garrulok, all three of those are pretty maligned right now in the role that they serve. So with that all being said, this theme has, for me, like the most upside to it. Even if those models don't get much better, like the idea of a Warwitch Siren or a, can't think of the model, Machine Wraith, sorry. Something that the Warwitch Siren has parry, the Machine Wraith is incorporeal. I don't know if either of those are allowed, but I think one of them was.
I think so. I don't think they are, but I'm
I
not
thought
sure.
One of, it doesn't matter. Regardless, the idea of like getting just a warrior model, even if you just bring a Ghostwalk caster, right? To be able to get next to an opponent's Warcaster, you then have Stalkers going to like Mat 9, Power and Strength 14 before any other buffs.
Right.
Or like if you go with like a Mort Neighbor, like the problem with Mort Neighbor's assassination run, and the reason why it worked in Mark 2, currently she can't deliver a Warjack that will one round an opponent's caster, and for the most part she can only get one Warjack there. Unless they're on no camp, which generally against something that threatens 20 inches, you never do. Like the reason it worked in Mark II is you could get Nightmare there, which Nightmare with Prey on you and her feet like would get the work in.
Yeah, it was the same idea as Strakov.
Right, but like now if an opponent's caster is camping 3, like you're generally not hitting. The reason it all worked before is terminal velocity would boost the attacks to hit, so then you just bought more attacks. Whereas now, most Crix Jacks need, if it's a mat 7 jack, I need 8s to hit defense 15, which is like a fair average for Warcasters. This theme benefit, if I can get something there, now means I'm hitting on 6s, which is like a huge,
and
huge change.
And let me rephrase my statement, because I don't mean this theme is going to be hot trash forever. I mean currently with the current iterations of Black Ogre and Boarding Party and Blood Gorgers. I like both of those units, and I hope it goes through CID, and I hope they come out, and I hope the new releases help this theme, because I don't mean to shit on it and say in theory that it's like, I like the theory of this theme. It just currently, there's just not enough there.
Yeah, it's hard.
The good thing that Brad and I talked about, though, is one thing missing from this theme is Satixis, which means Satixis are getting their own theme, and I guarantee fucking to you, there is a 0% chance that that theme will be garbage.
I am it horrified.
It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be, what if they give him back AD?
It doesn't even, to be honest, it doesn't matter, because it's a theme where you're going to get free points for taking Satixis. The other stuff almost doesn't matter. It will be good.
Well, that's not necessarily a guarantee.
Guaranteed. Lock it up. It's going to be great.
No, what I mean by that is, like, there could be a theme that's based on, like, the Amphibious Jacks or some bullshit that then includes Satixis as the units.
Yeah.
I wish you could have seen his face when you said that, because it literally, somebody just pooped in his sandwich. Yeah.
No, but I don't think.
Don't get me wrong. I want a thing, like, for every 20 points of Satixis, get a free solo or unit attachment. So I'm, like, getting free Raider Captains and Sea Witches and Blood Hags. I actually don't give a shit what the rest of the benefits are. That alone is good enough for me.
Did I just say that?
I think you may have just said that, but it's okay. But this is the problem. Brad said it, so, I mean, don't count.
Yeah, I know.
You're super scrub, like me. Everybody likes Brad's the only one who actually does anything.
No, it's... You're right, though, Brad. And that's what I was saying. Okay, you're going to take Satixis, you're going to get the free Satixis solos and UAs. Already a good theme. It's good. Yep. Don't care what else you get.
Yep.
Maybe they'll reduce my deployment zone by 2.
Yeah, you start in difficult terrain.
And make them speed 6.
Yeah,
I'm in.
Your whole deployment zone is difficult terrain.
All right, so enough about that theme, because there's not a lot worth talking about yet. But as Pete has pointed out, it's got potential to be the most improved theme. And I think that's
the gang fighter, I think, is going to be nonsense.
Yeah, that could get super bonkers.
Scavengers in it, like, go up to mat 9, power and strength 13 with finisher. Like, get in, like, a surprising amount of work.
Yep. All right, so stupid the third birds. One to come out, Call of the Wild. This is a circle living war beast theme. So you can field all non-character living war beasts. Brennus, the Elder Horn's also available, and it's restrictive in what can be taken outside of war beasts. You can take Shifting Stone units, Black Clad Solos, Gallows Grove, and Lord of the Feast, and that's it. one minion solo or unit, sorry. For every 25 points of living circle war beasts, you can add a solo or shifting stone unit free of cost. It reduces the cost of all animi cast by war beasts by 1. And funny interaction on that has been infernaled, that Tanith's feat reduces everything by 1 to a minimum of 1. So outside of feat turn, your war beasts are going around casting their anubis for free, and then she
if
feats.
If they cost 1.
If they cost 1, and then she feats, and they got to pay 1. It's like, I don't even want to feat. I just don't want to feat. Get to channel your spells through them.
I will say, so this is Circle's Living War Beast theme. This is what they've been waiting for, to bring all of their Living War Beasts back. And the puppy list gets freaking scary as shit with this.
Yep. Was there another... Am I missing a benefit here, or is that it?
No, that was it, right?
That was it? Okay.
1, 2, 3. Yeah, that's it.
All right. For some reason, I thought I only had, like, 3 themes, so... Anyway, what do you think about that, Brad?
The theme force itself?
I
think it's going to bring, like, the Chromac 1, Chromac 2,
yep.
All 3 Kaias, for the most part, back to the table. I was talking about it with Tim, because Tim's on the fence about jumping back to Circle just to play this theme force for a couple months, seeing as how he's, like, on his post-WTC, like... Crix Grind Fest, where he can kind of now just play whatever the fuck he wants. And like, he was excited about the idea to play new models, or just like new things completely. So for the most part, what he was saying is that, like, if you play with Kaia 3, which is the list that had him excited, it will kind of bully anything that doesn't ignore stealth. And I forgot the second thing he said, but like, it's just interesting. What are you trying to tell me, Pete? What does that mean? Wormwood and Nis.
He's saying
use
bring
use
Nis.
More words, Pete.
He's saying you bring Nis with Wormwood.
So that they can shoot through the... Or no, they don't, they don't have that.
They don't ignore forest anymore. Yeah, they just ignore concealment and cover.
Yeah, they ignore cover now with Hunter.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Pete's talking to us from the void. Regardless, Listening Fortress brings options that Circle didn't have. The interaction with Tanith is kind of unfortunate. That all being said...
I think they might change that. I don't know how, but I know that was Infernal, but I have a feeling something will get adjusted because that just doesn't
So which way does it adjust? Does it adjust down to free or does it adjust up to where the Warbeasts always have to spend one?
I'm not sure. I just don't think that's how it's going to stand because that's such Scornergy. I just don't.
Yeah, it's not like they had that in the game forever.
I don't see that sticking because that makes no sense.
It's one caster. They might leave it like that.
I know, but hey, you know, I don't know. It probably doesn't matter. But yeah, I mean, hey, they get their hunter's marks. They get the shifting stones. They get to do the things Circle Beasts want to do. And hopefully it's good. I like the theory of it. And
I hear having a free fury, effectively having a free plus one fury to all of your beasts is pretty nasty.
Oh, so Pete sent us a list with Wyrmwood running two Stalkers, two Purebloods, a Gorax, Lanissa, two Blackclads, Nyss, and shifting stones.
It's a shame he's not, you know, like on the cast.
Yeah,
where he could have been.
Sounds good. Yeah.
And that accidentally is just good in the Ghost Fleet because you have Hellmouth. So now the Crix player is probably looking at their other list and considering like it's just good. Yeah, Kaya 3 is a bit of a bully in the same way that Abby 2 is into like battle group heavy lists, but not necessarily into the entire field. So by mixing both together, it's interesting.
Do we think we're gonna see return of the what was it, Chromac 2 with 13 puppies?
I mean, Brian Gelfand was already doing that with Kaya 3. So, yeah, probably.
It's possible.
Or, actually, I think the new hotness is the Scarspell Griffins because they get free elusive.
Ooh.
Oh, sure.
Ooh, that could be nasty.
That sounds good.
Maybe return of Una and a bunch of Griffins?
And then the last one, because PP likes to either release stuff the day after we podcast or an hour before we podcast, which always, you know, usually works out for us half the time. And so the Trencher Gravediggers theme went live about an hour ago. So in that theme, you can take the final iteration, all Signar Warcasters, non-character Warjacks, Triumph, Ranger model units, Trencher model units, which does include the Blockhouse. That is a Trencher unit, or model, excuse me. You can take a Mercenary solo and unit. That'll work for Signar. You can take them even if they're Partisan Signar, and you can take Murdoch on them. For every full 20 points of Ranger or Trencher model units, you can add a Weapon Crew, Command Attachment, or Solo free of cost. And Trencher Warrior models gain Rise, and you get plus one to your starting roll for the game.
I like it. I think it's a great utilitarian theme.
Yeah, no, I like it. I haven't built a lot of lists yet because I'm just I usually wait till they get into War Room, and I've really only had
nothing,
an hour to play
nothing
with
like
this.
Crazy jumps out on me about the theme, but it does seem like just a good utilitarian.
It seems good in and to be honest, and I don't know if every other Signar player. To me, I'm excited to play something that isn't a fucking Stormblade or a Storm Stormlance. Like I almost don't care. It's an infantry theme in SR 2017, and I can play a unit.
Rise is kind of cutesy with it too.
There's definitely some cool things. I'm really hoping Striker 3 ends up being good in this theme because he's my boy, and I like getting. I want to see him get on the table. They did release the other non-release stuff. Everything looks the same from CID. I might be missing something, but they released the Trencher Long Gunners. They seem fine. I still am like on the fence about them because I'm like, oh, it's great because you take a blockhouse and they sit in a trench and they just aim and take two shots at like PAL 15 or 17 if you're going to take Iana and Holt and then recur and it seems cool. And then I'm just like, but they're still like 18 points and they don't do anything in melee and I'm just not sure.
Did the convergence theme not drop?
The convergence theme. Oh yeah, we did not talk about.
I was
going
to say I've been waiting to talk about that.
Sorry, we'll hit on that as soon as we're done this. If I can pull it up real quick. So yeah, there's some interesting things here. Like I said, I'm excited. I think Cray may even want to play it. I mean, we talked about countermeasure with commandos.
I think that'll be real interesting.
That could be cool. I don't know if that's just cute or if there's actually something good there. Who else? It's different. It's going to be different than what we've been playing for basically all of Mark III.
I think Signar really needed it.
And I'm excited.
I really think they needed it. I'm glad they actually got it out and into War Room first, because there is not a lot of diversity in Signar right now.
No. And I think you're seeing a lot of people, and if it hasn't caught on, it might, you know, steering away from heavy metal. And it's weird. We went super hard Storm Division, then super hard heavy metal, and I think everyone's going to start going super hard Storm Division again, and now Gravediggers will get to get mixed in and may actually have a non-miserable Signar mirror match for the first time in this edition, so that's cool. They also did release the Blockhouse. It looks basically unchanged. It's 14 points with 30 boxes, and it's got an AoE 4 PAL 15 gun with knockdown. You could put two trenches down and recur D3 trenchers. And the blast damage is PAL 10. Seems pretty cool.
The recurred trenchers get to fully activate, or
no,
is it shitty?
No, they do the normal recursion, place within 3 inches, and forfeit combat action.
3 inches of
a
model.
Member in the unit, a member of the unit,
and the blockhouse, or no?
No, in the command range of the blockhouse.
In the command
10.
Range of the blockhouse,
within 10,
okay.
And then 3 of the unit.
That's like the normal recursion.
Yeah. Seems good. Yeah. I'm still with Brad. I think any recursion right now is better than none. So I think it's there's some game there. I don't know if I don't want to say 14 points is too much. I'm just not sure about an immobile. Like, we haven't seen a structure. This is the first thing of its
kind.
This
is the first one.
So I don't know.
Can you can get it up far enough the table to contest zones and
it's
scenarios?
It's
6
inches outside of your advanced deployment?
The answer is yes.
I believe yes.
The answer is yes.
Actually, this says 6 inches beyond your deployment zone. Does that count? Your AD, or it just...
Ooh.
That's an AD range.
That's weirdly worded. That's not
this
how the Hellmouth is
deployed
worded.
Up to 6 inches beyond your deployment zone. It's forward deployment, and I think the Hellmouth has distant deployment, which is a different rule. And I'm checking.
Okay, so no, it can get deployed on the AD line.
Yeah, so it can't contest because you don't get 2 inches in this theme. So I don't think there's no. So
no, it can get there's flags.
If you go
second, 16
inches. I think one of the things has a zone 15 inches up the table.
Yes.
So I think there's one scenario you can
test. Are
there
flags? Is it? It's not a solo.
No, it can't score. You can't score. It's a structure, so you can't score.
I was hoping you'd be able to contest zones a little bit more.
Brad, help me out.
What about the
Yeah.
Structure. So, I mean, I said this before when it was first previewed in CID. Any model that can let your opponent basically play it for you, I'm not a fan of. It's probably very good. It brings elements of recursion to the table, but it has a range presence of, 14-ish? If they have anything that shuts down shooting, whether it's like a blinding light off Assyria, if it's an ability to land a blind from something, like, it's a 14-point model that does recursion. Like, other factions have that in the Enigma Foundries or in Necrosurgeons or whatever for, like, 1/3 the cost. Or if say, for example, you're playing, like, Spread the Net or some scenario element or some scenario game that's really spread out on the table, and I can score 2 elements a turn while keeping all of my models outside of the thing's gun range, you're just playing 14 points down. Like, the guys you bring back, great. If I'm able to contest or stop you from scoring on your side and I can score mine, you can have it. That's great.
But you are bringing back trenchers who all have guns, so there is a little play there. They don't get to shoot that turn, but it's not like you're bringing back a dude that's just going to walk forward.
So how much are the trenches worth? Because it gives you 2 trenches.
It does give you 2 trenches. And I don't know, because I don't... Does that just like... I honestly have not put it on the table yet, so I'm not sure what...
Because I'll tell you right now, those rec markers in Axis Theme in Mark II were fucking amazing.
Yeah, I mean, these 2 trencher units that can't dig in, getting to def 17 with tough and no blast damage seems okay.
Yeah, no, that seems fine. But I think it comes from like me when I used to play 40K, where the game was much wackier. Any model or any scenario that dictated how a model was going to be played, I was never a fan of. So like some scenarios would like force a unit to like do nothing because it like developed some special rule. There were some models that came out that would like you'd have to roll at the beginning of each turn on a 1. It like just didn't do anything. Like that stuff drove me insane. So having a model that just can never move, I'm not usually a huge fan of.
Yeah, see,
the reason I think the Hellmouth is different is for how low of its point cost is.
And the distance. It starts so much further up the table, it's relevant immediately.
And it could contest.
Yeah, that's...
Right? Like, it could be contesting stuff.
Yeah.
This can't. I'm not sure. I think it's going to be one of those things where it's not going to be as good as, say, the new battle engines, where you're going to see them almost in every pairing. I think it's going to be situational. There's certain lists that are going to want it, and there's a lot of lists that aren't.
Might make a good specialist choice in Masters and stuff.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Signar ADR is not great for Signar usually, I'm not sure. That doesn't excite me too much.
Anyway,
that theme's out. I'm excited. Like I said, it's something different, and that's sweet. So let's hit the Convergence one, since we never talked about that. So obviously you can take all the Warcasters. The FA of Enigma Foundries goes up to 4.
Yep.
What else is in this one?
Every 20 points worth of infantry, you get free solo.
Which is an Enigma
Foundry. Enigma Foundries,
right?
Yep. And you can take all of the Construct Infantry.
Is that... I feel like I'm missing a benefit. FA4 Enigma Foundries. I'm trying to just skim through this. Advanced Move with Shield Wall.
Advanced Move
with
Shield Wall and Vengeance on Medium.
There it is.
There's
okay.
The other one. I actually... It's something different for Convergence. It finally gives... I think that it is a direct answer. You have to be careful how you build it, because anybody who's trying to answer Crix is just going to completely obliterate you off the table. Your recursion is not as good, and you're arguably mildly more susceptible to anti-recursion tech. But beyond that, it now gives Convergence... It's not just, hey, here's this Jack loadout and this Jack loadout with these two casters, which can be very different. But it gives a new option. I've played it a couple ways now since it came out. One, I was trying to duplicate the old Axis theme with just the shit ton of infantry, and I don't think that works. New recursion still sucks as far as trying to use it where my stuff gets removed, I bring it back, it does something, you remove it, I bring it back, it does something. There's that turn of lag in between, and we don't really have guns with our infantry. We have a range 6 spray that is cool, but not a real gun. But if you use it as a more focused, where I was using it with Lucant and bringing back the 8 wound, I wasn't trying to lose a lot. It wasn't like I was recurring a ton of stuff, but I'm recurring 3 or 4 8 wound medium based infantry who get Vengeance. So now they do get to, it helps alleviate that I don't get to do anything, but because my unit kind of gets to act twice, the ones you didn't kill between the Vengeance and then their normal activation, and then now they're back to full strength. You kill them, they get Vengeance and a normal activation, and they're back to full strength. So it gives you that kind of I get to recur and do something ability. This speed, the first time I put it on the table and watched 40 guys go up to the center line of the table on turn one was something that's kind of entertaining, to watch a bunch of speed 5 infantry fly up the table.
I mean, you and I played 2 games. One, you know, wasn't exactly, you were playing like legit just all the dudes. I dropped the siege list and like just murdered the world. The second game was significantly better.
I don't think the all the dudes list, I don't think the old Axis theme force works. It just doesn't work. The type of recursion that we have now doesn't work for that. But the focused recursion, where I'm just going to stop you from killing a unit, and I'm going to keep my other unit back, or I'm going to have something that makes my stuff incredibly hard to remove, and I'm going to get it back. I think the medium base infantry is actually the best in any other recursion stuff.
Problem is, you only can bring back one a turn, whereas with your other dudes, you can be bringing back 3.
Yes, but they're much harder to remove. The idea is to make something that's just really hard to remove.
Yeah.
But I don't know. What do you think, Brad? Did you look at this theme force at all?
Not tremendously. I mean, I knew roughly what it would have been. I think you're absolutely correct in saying that the list answers in the meta also accidentally prey upon this Convergence theme force.
Yeah.
Similar to the fact that I was not playing Ghost Fleet for the past couple months, and things that were good into Ghost Fleet are accidentally good into Shade 2 Dark Host. Like, and those things that exist in the meta exist in higher prevalence now than really before.
Yeah.
I think the Convergence is probably still going to be its strongest in double destruction initiative until Ghost Fleet falls off.
Yeah.
There is some shenanigans because we're constructs, not living models, but I definitely think this is the same. I think this is the same problem Kador is going to have with some of its infantry themes, where if you've got a good answer, especially if you're going for that attrition answer against Ghost Fleet, you're going to just absolutely tear a Kador infantry list, a Convergence infantry list. You're going to tear them right off the table.
Ooh, and a little hotness from Pete. Eilish was just released into War Room. So I'm going to read him real quick.
Yeah, let's do that.
So he's a mercenary minion solo. He's speed 6, mat 5, rat 5, def 13, arm 14 with 5 boxes. He costs 5 points. He works for fucking everybody. He has Arcane Void. When a model in this model's command range is targeted by an enemy spell, the enemy spellcaster immediately suffers D3 damage points, and if they're destroyed as a result of the damage, the spell doesn't take effect. He has Gatewalker. Once per activation, after he casts a spell, you can place him anywhere completely within 5 inches. He has 3 magic abilities, and he has magic ability 6. He has Bleed, which is range 8, pal 10, and when it damages a living enemy model, he can remove D3 damage points. He has Puppet Master. We know what that does. And he has Unbinding, which is a star action. Enemy upkeep spells on model units within 5 inches of this model expire. Models suffer D3 damage points for each of those spells they controlled. And he has Mental Force. This model can choose to use Mental Force at the beginning of each attack. If it chooses to do so, all attack and damage rolls resulting from it are boosted. After it's resolved, this model suffers D3 damage points. That is so much better than what he was in fucking CID.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little sad to see Arcane Vortex go to Arcane Void. I would have rather lost the... I mean, the Unbinding is definitely is arguably more powerful, but...
I think what it gives you in the factions that needed it was the upkeep removal, which is good without being overly powerful to the point that Eilish was going to be the only Merc solo anyone ever took.
Unbinding is incredibly powerful.
And I'm obviously saying that a little bit facetiously. Like, there was obviously other options, but his CID iteration...
Oh,
like,
it was broken to
he
shit.
He was going to be seen so much. I think this is good. He's a very good model, but I don't think everybody that needed that takes him.
I my only issue, unless they go back and retcon the convergence theme force, we'll never get to take him, unfortunately.
I think for the most part you guys are right. The interesting bits is he's a 13-14 for 5 points that has no defensive tech at all.
Nope.
So he's relatively tough to protect. I mean, he's a high investment model as a solo that for the majority of lists won't be able to attribute him to counting for 3 points. Even though Theme Forces allow Mercs and Minion, or I'm sorry, like a Mercenary or Minion unit and solo, those things don't count towards...
3 points.
Yeah, 3 points.
Unless so you're Scorn.
Right, unless you're Scorn, which is fine. But the same things still apply. He has no defensive tech on himself, so like he has to be around shield guards. Or like he has to be around something that can actually cancel a spell from targeting him.
Yeah.
Like even if I take D3 damage points to like kill this guy with a venom spray, right? It's Denegra, and then like my crippling grasp never gets disbinded. Who gives a shit? Does not matter at all. All in all, that all being said, like the complaints about how easy he is to kill, he's very good. Like you take D3 damage and you get a fully boosted range 8 pal 10. Not great, but if you need to clear a solo, like that'll pretty much do it usually. Puppet Master for every faction now is a very, very nice tool.
Yep.
Most factions had access to it already, but for those that didn't, like, astounding.
Super strong.
Unbinding is great for any faction that can really take it if you need it. There's some factions that need it less, like the Arcane Vortexes and Ruin out of Grimkin make it a little less exciting. Really, any list that kind of already brought Orin. Orin might be a better choice than what Eilish brings.
But a faction like Signar that doesn't have that outside of Repudiate on Haley 3, like, mm-hmm. I'll take being able to get rid of Rebuke
this
or
is, this
fucking
guy,
could you take Orin, though, or no?
No, you can't take Orin.
This guy's actually huge into Kador, too, because as much as Ruin is an awesome answer, he is not useful until he gets souls. And there's a lot of times that once he's getting souls, everything's already kind of happened, and it'll save your ass at the end of a game when someone gets desperate with a spell assassination or you're starting to lose and you get to have that ability. But having this without having to have Ruin have souls is pretty nice, actually.
Yeah, there's like Brad said, there's a lot of factions. Like
in Kador, you already had Orin, and
right.
Orin has the ability to make himself stealth.
Yeah. Orin is just better in Kador for the defensive side.
Is he's very good. He's harder protect, and in some matchups will do less than Orin will, or than like what your actual caster will do. I'm only going over the negatives because the upsides are obviously very easy to spot.
Yeah. I mean, he's still a solo that could go be on a flag. Not that again, he doesn't have
did
any
he,
defensive shtick.
Did he go? I wouldn't want to score a flag
I'm
with
just,
him.
I'm just saying if yeah,
he's already got it. He's already got a big enough bullseye. Yeah, I mean, if it wins you the game, it wins you the game.
Like he can run 12 inches to a flag for a point.
Did he go to 5 points? Was he 4 points in the CID? I think he was.
Think, but I don't remember.
Okay, because five makes him a lot more
he's really good at 5 points, though. It's kind
of
like...
I really like the place he's in because I don't think he's one of those Mark II Ruperts or Iris where he's just going to just always be in these lists. I think the lists that want to take him, you're going to sacrifice the fact that he's not going to contribute for your points. He's not friendly faction. Right, because taking the Merc solos don't make them friendly. There's going to be the downside, but what he's giving you, he's not insanely offensive, but he's got good abilities that if that was something that you need and you need to use your Merc solo slot on it, worth it.
I will say it is very interesting to see him work for Convergence and for Retribution.
Yeah. I mean,
so they made a model that could work for everyone because it came out with No Quarter Prime. And
I know why they did it. It's just funny.
Yeah. But he looks cool. I'm actually very happy. This was one of the things I was the most nervous about because I was super scared that they were going to have a really hard time finding a balance for him.
Yeah, I figured he'd either be OP garbage or garbage.
Or OP like he was in...
Yep. I like the spot. Oh, he was so broken. Yeah. And when he first came out in CID, he was the most broken thing.
It was
ridiculous.
It was
crazy.
It was gross. I like where he's at. So, yeah, Peach is awesome. A great ADR model. That's a good point. You throw him
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, all right. I think that is a cast. What do you guys think? I think we hit everything.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
We had next week. Like I said, we're going to try to get Mike on and talk about the WTC and his experiences afterwards. And then probably talk themes.
I only want to say this one thing.
Yes.
Knowing that he's listening and also knowing that he can't rebuke or like butt in.
Yeah.
Not having Pete on the cast has been a real pleasure.
And even if he unmutes himself, he's not being recorded. So even if he talks, like, it'll never make it on the cast.
He's just done.
So fuck him.
To be fair, though, he has managed to alter the cast without saying a word.
That's true. He gave input without actually being here. Although, one more thing I want to point out is we're playing Brad. I find out that the Battle Driven guys actually stayed at Brad's house the night before, and that around noon, Brad decides to tell me, yeah, you should have come over. Ashley made French toast for everybody.
Okay.
Thanks, buddy.
I made the French toast.
Sorry. All right, I messed that part up.
He's the worst. What did you expect? He's the worst.
I was like, thanks. That information would have been real cool at, 8 o'clock this morning, not round two in a tournament. Thanks, buddy.
I mean,
that's cool.
You're welcome.
I'm an afterthought. I got it.
So that was a cast.
Yep, that's it. Thanks for listening. I've been Grant.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Brad.
And I'm Pete.